Campbell River this afternoon. We're joined by the journalist John Twigg. John Twigg was press secretary to Premier Dave Barrett, a journalist with the Vancouver Sun, the Regina Leader Post, and now his own newsletter, The Twigg Report, which you can subscribe to on his website, www.bcpolitics.com. Please welcome to thecommentary.ca, John Twigg. Good afternoon, Mr. Twigg.
Well, Joseph, thank you very much, and thank you for that nice plug, too.
Thank you for joining us. How does it look from your vantage point there in Campbell River, this election thus far?
Well, not just from Campbell River, because I've been traveling around, and of course I monitor the, I've got two TVs on the go now, I just turned one off, but, you know, keep touch with the radio. I put out a new issue last night of my newsletter, and basically the last line is that it's too early to say, but it is close.
So you're close between the NDP and the Liberals, I guess?
Yes, and it's also, unlike most of the other pundits, I still see an opportunity for one or two seats to one or two small parties.
Really? Would that be the Greens? Or?
Yeah, the Greens might pull one or two seats. The DRBC, Tom Marino, you never know. He might pull his seat out in Esquimalt-Wanda-Fuca. I think that's what he's in. Actually, that might not be the right name. But, you know, depending on the splits, depending on the news that happens in the next few weeks, there's still room for some surprises.
Now, the conclusion that most draw, that Campbell will win this, is that a correct one?
Well, it's the logical assumption for people that have been in the game for a while, you know? I mean, they had such a huge lead. They're dominant in money. You see that now in the signs. I've never seen so many lawn and political and other signs go up so quickly in a campaign as this one. So, yeah, they've got a huge lead. They've got a huge advantage in terms of being organized, controlling the agenda. And if they don't win, I mean, you got to say they blew it.
The NDP have a chance of forming the government, do you think?
Yes, and this is because, again, people tend to underestimate them, but they've got a lot of experienced campaigners, and they look at 79 ridings, and they know they're not going to win the upper-income enclaves, so they focus on, I'm using the figure, 50 winnable ridings. I've heard 53. I think more realistically it's probably like 42. But, they're going to certainly get back their traditional stronghold ridings in Eastside Vancouver. And they're competitive you asked about the North Island here. The NDP and the Liberals are probably tied right now. And surprisingly, the Green candidate is in the race. But he's probably third. But it's still, you know, we got 3 weeks left.
A lot can happen in 3 weeks, right?
You betcha.
You talked about the NDP winning some of their traditional seats in East Vancouver. I live in Kensington.
Yeah.
And they say that's a traditional seat. I talked to the NDP candidate this morning, and he said that it's not, and he's, you know, he's in a race, essentially, is what he was trying to say.
Let me interject, sorry. Of the East Side seats are safer for the NDP than others. And if there's a trend to the NDP, well, then all the seats go NDP. And if it's sort of a toss-up, well, then only a few of the seats will always go NDP. And in a way, we saw that in the last election where, despite the 77-2, you know, the NDP still won those two East Side seats. So they'll spread out from there. But, yeah, Kensington's a contest. Fairview's a contest. Fraserview's a contest. There's a lot of contests. That's the thing about this election. And that's why I say that the NDP is competing in maybe 50 ridings. And that's not to predict them winning 50 at all. That means that they've got a chance if things go well and they don't blow it in 50 places.
But don't you think that the Greens will factor in any of those 50 ridings and the people who are environmentalists, even if they're not environmentalists, if they are on the right, yeah, will vote Green?
The Green vote is, I don't know if you can say it's going to be like it was in the past, because a number of things have happened. There's this broad coalition the news came out about in the last few days, where feminists inside the Greens and the NDP are doing a vote swapping thing, sort of like, we'll vote for you here if you vote for us there. We don't know all of the details of that, but here in the North Island, there's a situation that's talked about by Times columnist Les Lane today, which is, when we're taping this, April 28th, about the NDP candidate up here used to be green, and some of the more militant greens have gone over with her, and the unions don't like that. So you got the strange situation of the IWA Steelworkers Union not being pleased with the NDP candidate. And meanwhile, the green candidate up here is from the Chamber of Commerce, but the left side of it, and in a way, he's sort of union and business friendly. So strange things could happen. Province-wide, the thing about the green vote, and this is where Rafe Mayer, I think, has it right, there's a lot of people that voted Liberal last time, can't vote Liberal this time, and they will never vote NDP for various reasons. So where are they going to go? Well, they either stay home or they might park their votes with DRBC or with the Green Party. So, yeah, the Greens are going to get increased support. I think that's pretty clear. But whether or not it's enough to get a seat, we don't know. And are they running a good campaign? Well, maybe. Could be better, of course. You know, we'll see.
Will Adrian Carr win her seat in Powell River?
I haven't been over there. I know that it'll be close. I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't. There's a factor, I think, where, you know, if a person keeps trying too hard too often and losing,
right,
that people say, you know, hey, it's an insult for you to come back and ask us again. Now, Adrian may have changed her spots on a few issues like STV, so, you know, she may be changing some of that for the better. Like, the green platform this time is way better than it was in the past, I think. That's their best chance, there's no doubt, but I wouldn't put much money on it.
Carol James, how has she done in this campaign thus far?
I don't think she's done that great. She's done better than maybe some would have expected, but I think she really blew the Raleigh Keith thing. You know, first she said that what he said was not a problem, and then she looked at it closer and said it was a problem, so he resigned. Looks like he was pushed out. And now the military people come along and say what Mr. Keith said was fair and true. And so he got the bum's rush for political correctness. And, you know, is this the kind of leader you want that flip-flops and, you know, does political correctness on it? And then also, Carol James tends to whine a bit. She, you know, doesn't have an angry voice. We've sort of seen the indignation voice. And, you know, I think if she got mad once in a while, like really mad, it might convince people that she could control her own cabinet. And that's, of course, something that Mike Harcourt couldn't do. And that's one of the reasons the NDP has a hard time now.
Raleigh Keith, by the way, is that the candidate in Chilliwack, was it?
Yes, Chilliwack Kent.
And
so he was suddenly replaced by somebody whose name I don't know. But, I mean, there's a nice man. He's a career Army man, well-recognized. And then after his career, he went into peacekeeping and had another, you know, he's a well-meaning guy. I don't really know him. I've heard of him before. But for him to get turfed, I think it was kind of sad.
The debate, will that be critical for either Mr. Campbell, Ms. James, or Ms. Carr?
Well, probably in different ways, yes. The debates in BC politics historically have been pivotal. We think of the classic, of course, is Gordon Wilson coming out of nowhere, and I guess it was 1991, getting 17 seats from zero. Or maybe he had one before, I'm not sure. But, yeah, Gordon Campbell needs to not make a mistake. I think he can assume that he won't. Carol James needs to make an impression that's positive and strong, and if she doesn't, it's critical for her. And likewise, Adrian Carr, she has to surprise people and do above expectations, or else it's not enough either.
Do you think those debates influence the voters?
Well, you look at, you know, like we got opinion polls, and they come out and they report on the undecided. And the latest Mustel Group poll says the undecided was down to 10%. Well, I think the undecided is reflected in people that wouldn't answer their questions in the first place and said, sorry, I'm too busy. Yeah, there's, in probably any jurisdiction, any party, you know, you've got your diehards. people that have always been one way or the other way for a party, and, you know, they could run a dog and they'd still vote for the party. The elections, however, I think party membership is like 5% of the population or less.
Right.
So there's 95% of the people that are non-aligned. And of those people that are undecided and how many decide to vote or stay home, those are the key things. So that remains to be seen.
One of the early stories was the exclusion of Tom Marino, the DRBC leader, from that debate.
Yeah.
What's the latest on that, do you know?
I haven't heard the latest, except that I was on his website yesterday, and I see that they've got some kind of a sign-up here to join the protest about being excluded. But, you see, I think he should be in there, but I can understand why he isn't. Based on past rules, but also you look at who's doing it. It's the three major television networks, the CBC, and of course we know they're pro-union, pro-NDP. And then the other two are basically pro-liberal, pro-establishment. None of those players want the vote to be fractured to small independent parties, so the fewer the merrier for them. And also, one of the reasons they're so happy to have the Green Party in there, of course, is that it splits the NDP vote.
The proliferation of star candidates, people like Carol Taylor, Wally Opal, Daniel Igali, the NDP's guilty of that too, with Gregor Robertson.
No, just let's back up there.
Okay.
There's not that many star candidates this time. Like, we didn't really know who Virginia Green was. The public didn't. Campbell's insiders knew who she was. She's not a star. And then Gregor Robertson wasn't recruited because he's a figurehead, at least not that I was aware of. It was more like, at this stage in his life and in his career, he was thinking, well, what can I do next to make a difference? And so he went into politics, and because he's intelligent and talented and that kind of a thing, he's emerged as a star.
So the title of star candidate, that doesn't apply?
It's a media fiction that's made up, but yeah, there's, I guess you could put it in quotes, or you can put it in small letters or italics. The star varies with the candidate.
Right.
Some of them are stars because they stand out, and some of them are stars because, like Igali, they got recruited on their reputation more than on their, though I think Mr. Igali apparently has some political interest, and, you know, he's got some university education, so he's, maybe he's. He's not a parachute candidate so much, but yeah, he's a dropped in novelty.
But did you think with people like Carol Taylor, if you see Carol Taylor on the ballot, that
yeah, she's a star.
Obviously, that'll get some votes. Do you think that works?
Well, it'll get maybe a few, but most of the voters are pretty sophisticated nowadays with all the modern media, and that includes the ethnic media. That, you know, like the non-Anglophone media.
Right.
There'll be a few naive people that think, oh, well, if Carol is going there, it must be all right, because she does have that kind of draw. But more so, you know, like she's got charisma. I saw a picture of her and Campbell. She and Campbell? I guess, no, her and Campbell, outside of a campaign bus. And even though she was wearing some sort of homely glasses and she was kind of slouched, I mean, she's... You could still see the aura around her. She shines so much brighter than Gordon Campbell.
Rafe Mayer said it's true that she's cabinet material, obviously.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Actually, Joseph, I've postulated in some of my newsletters in the past that the deal has already been done to make her premier.
To succeed him.
The business people are not very pleased with Campbell because he's making too many mistakes. Of course, that's not popular wisdom, but that's the truth. And they went out and recruited Taylor to be the inheritor. So I wouldn't be the least surprised to see Campbell bail out within a year of the election, maybe two, maybe half a year. But she'll get it. That's if the Liberals win, of course. And if they lose, well, she'll get it even sooner.
So within a year... You think we're obviously thinking that Campbell will win.
Yes,
within a year.
If Campbell wins, I wouldn't be surprised to see him gone within a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll hold you to that, because that's an interesting proposition now. The STV referendum, yep. what are your thoughts on that?
It's a more sophisticated way to vote. I urge everybody to vote yes. It's not perfect, but it's better than what we got. We need 60% yes overall, and we need yes in 60% of the ridings by 50%. So, yeah, let's go for it.
Do you think the threshold is too high?
No. It is tough, but there was a referendum in years past on initiative and recall, and that had a high threshold, and it got, like, I think 85% yes.
Shrek says that he's against it, but he thinks it'll pass.
Good. I know David, respect his intelligence, but he's very, very partisan. And the NDP Brains Trust has deduced that this is not good for them. And in a way, I think they're right. It's not good for the major parties because it makes it easier for the public to support small parties. And I think that would be healthy.
You've watched politics a long time. If STV passes, do you think that'll do away with some of this polarization that we have in the province?
No. The way they count the vote under STV, it's still going to be a popularity contest. You know, like if there's the two seats up for grabs in a two-member riding, it'll still probably be the two best individuals for the most popular party that win. It's not, you see, the Green Party and Adrian Carr were naively going for mixed member proportional representation because they thought that if they got 12% of the popular vote, they'd get 12% of the seats. It's lazy. It's false logic. It's weak. I'm not in favor of it, and I'm glad they didn't go to MMP.
I was going to ask you about just the feeling that you get watching the STV election. I mean, it's not as high profile, of course, as the general election.
It gets a fair amount. What distresses me is to see the misinformation by the opponents and the disinformation by the opponents. You know, people propounding the notion that, oh, it's so complex, it's better to stay with a simple system. No, it's not that complex, and the improvement would be substantial. Just in case there's some people listening that don't understand it, if you got eight people to choose from for a two-member riding, you don't have to choose for all eight. You can rank them 1 to 7 and leave out the eighth guy you don't like. Or you can vote for only the two people of your own party. Or, like Greens and NDP in 2009, they'll probably vote for their own guy first, or the two of them, I guess it would be, and then for the other Green or NDP, as the case may be, you know, third and fourth choices. So, it's an improvement.
My favorite analogy is going to a magazine store, seeing 1,000 magazines and picking two that you like.
Yeah.
And it's I mean, you know, get the time and the people or whatever, and it's easy to find.
I might say that you can go to a magazine rack and you can shuffle them around so that the ones you like are at the front and the top, or, you know, most prominent, and then the next ones are still visible, but the ones that you really don't like, they're buried on the back shelf.
I talked to Gary Bannerman this morning, and he said that people aren't paying attention to this. Do you think that that's true?
Oh, that's conventional wisdom. But no, I'm hearing talk about it. I do a TV show up here for the local cable, and we've had STV on several times. There's been STV columns. You know, Paul Wilcox, he's a good independent journalist. He's been writing about it. It's interesting, you look at who's opposing it and who's supporting it, and the ones supporting it, especially amongst the pundits, are the independent ones.
Do you think that the people going into the polls on May 17th, do you think that affects who they'll vote for in the general election, if they're voting yes or no, and vice versa?
Oh, for a few people. I think there may be some people that always stay home because they think all politicians are corrupt. A few of those might come out because they want to vote in the referendum, and since they're there, they might cast a few ballots for a minority party or something. But while STV might draw young voters a bit extra, too, but... No, the history of referendums in general, and in BC in particular, is that they're sort of like two trains on parallel tracks.
Do you have any predictions?
For the election overall?
For the election overall. Let's
well, when
see
I was
count.
On race show, I said 39-38-1, which he immediately pointed out doesn't add up to 79.
Yeah, yeah.
So 39 39, 38 too. But I don't know who the 39 and 38 will be. But I don't want to be held to that, because the gist of my newsletter, www.bcpolitics.com, at least you'll find a link to maybe send me an email and beg for a free copy or something, but is that we've got too much time left. Too much can happen. If a federal election is called, like if the federal conservatives do a non-confidence motion on May 4th, which succeeds, well, then we'll have overlapping elections in B.C. for 2 weeks. And there'll be a lot of gommery stuff coming out. The provincial Liberal name could be sullied. This NDP deal to crop up the, prop up the corrupt federal Liberals is not helping the NDP. So if we get feedback and fallout like that, it could influence the outcome on May 17th provincially.
Well, we'll check in with you again before the vote on the 17th.
Yeah, okay. And I won't hold my breath until then.
Right.
But thank you very much for calling, and best wishes on your website. I think it's really good that there is independent media out there like yours.
Thanks very much,
very
John. John Twigg's website is bcpolitics.com, where you can get details on how to subscribe to his political newsletter.
Yep.
For the commentary, I'm Joseph Leno.